Hello and welcome. Oh, that was really, I felt flat on that one. That was not my best guess.
It feels weird today, the intro, when we're like...
It's weird to be like, welcome to Two Girls Who Read, where we...
Don't talk about reading.
We're not talking about reading today.
Yes.
Maybe we'll just... No, I have to do it because then the intro music doesn't fit. Okay. So, hold on. I'll go again. This is another episode with no topic at all. Or maybe...
We're just going to be talking about our Europe trip that Olivia and I are on together again. If you guys missed last week's episode called Eating Bao
Buns... What was it? Gotta get it right. Where we've been, Eating Bao Buns with Jacob Elordi and our homophobic Airbnb host.
Yes. Yeah. So... If you guys didn't catch that episode, Olivia and I have been in Europe together for like almost a month now. And we have been here traveling around, and this is like the first time we've ever like hung out in person, because every other time you guys have heard the podcast, she's been in Australia, I've been in Canada, and it's just edited to make for it to be sound like we're right beside each other pretty much, but
unsuccessfully. there's so many times where you can just hear like the delay or the phone call or whatever, but
but
now it's nice and crisp because we actually are right next to each other.
We're sitting very close to each other right now, talking into the same microphone, which
we're sitting on a bed in our Airbnb in Rome on our last full day in Rome / Italy / Europe, surrounded by a bunch of very erotic photos, because for whatever reason, the Airbnb host, also, this is a beautiful Airbnb.
That's a great Airbnb.
We have stayed in, I think, the entire scale of different types of Airbnbs. We've had good B&Bs with good locations, bad hosts. We've had B&Bs with good hosts, bad locations. We've had... just bad B&Bs, and this is a good one. This is a good B&B. The decorations are just so interesting, because we're not even kidding. I'm looking like, I'm trying to keep this as PG as possible, but I'm dead ass looking at nude people, and I don't know why the Airbnb host felt the need to decorate her beautiful Rome B&B. It does add character, weirdly.
I mean, sure. If you like erotic photos, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, so we thought it would be a good time. We know that last episode we promised that we gave you more false promises. We're like, the next one should be our Shatter Me episode. But I felt like...
But that's still in the works. Maybe after we do this, I'll edit it or something like that.
Yeah, but I also felt like it'd be a bit jarring to be like, Europe... podcast, Shatter Me podcast, Europe podcast, and then we're gonna do probably Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yes, because Olivia just finished reading that, and so did I. So that'll probably be... So, I mean, there is some good stuff coming up. Don't get me wrong. We're definitely, I think, like, especially once we get back to Australia, because if you also didn't listen to the last episode, I'm moving to Australia with Olivia, so this is gonna be the new regular thing. And not gonna lie, it makes editing so much easier. I'm so glad that this is
Oh my god, yeah.
I'm so thankful that this is our new setup. But anyway, basically, we'll be going back to Australia. And after we're in Australia, we will definitely be doing the episodes regularly again, for sure. It's just been...
Two Girls Who Read will be back to about to reading. But yeah, it's just been a few months of... preparing for this trip, preparing for moving after this trip. Yes. We had to find a place, which was just so impossible because the economy is just a mess. And yeah, especially when you were a young student, young woman, you know, it's rough out there. But we found a white man to snatch an apartment off of, and yeah, and they weren't disgusted by the idea of two young, independent women taking over a beautiful apartment, which, thank God for that.
It's been busy, but we're gonna get into it. So, like, last time in our episode, we discussed our experience in London, Paris, and Nice, which is a place in the south of France, if you didn't know. And I guess today we'll be talking about our time in Italy and then just like kind of what else we've been up to. Our final country, Italy. So we spent 8 days in Italy in total.
Yep.
And I feel like we had a really great time. So we went to Venice.
Four days in Venice. Four days in Rome.
And do you want to start?
Oh, okay. So first day in Venice. So basically our last day in Nice was having really bad luck finding flights in the day to our new destination. So in the beginning of our trip, we got pretty good with flights. Like, we were flying out of countries at 11 and landing in new ones at 1 or 2. But with Nice, it was the first of our pattern of where we could... The only flight out of Nice to Venice?
Yeah.
And from Nice to Venice, it was like at 9 p.m., I think,
or 9:40 p.m.
Yeah, 9:40 p.m. And so, thank God for our amazing Airbnb host in Nice.
Because, shout out to Colette.
Yeah, shout out to Colette, the real one. Because our checkout time was originally 12. However, Colette, she came through with the good. She was like, look, I know your flight doesn't leave till late. You can stay here as long as you want, which was just queen behavior. We love Colette. This is a Colette stan account. And yeah, so we just were able to spend, we were so worried because we're going to have to kill 9.5 hours in Nice with nowhere to go. However, we were able to just chill at our Airbnb and then go to the airport.
It was great. It made for a really good day.
It was a good last day in Nice. However, our last day in Nice was also our first day in Venice, which started at 11 p.m. And dare I say, our relationship was on the rocks. It really was.
Okay, I was thinking about this because Olivia was telling me. She's like, Lily, you were mad at me on that public transport ride. Because, okay, first of all, you guys should know, whenever the Google Maps comes out, the Two Girls Who Read podcast almost comes to an end because Olivia and I are almost about ready to end whoever has the map in their hands.
Yeah,
it's gotten to the point where you're like, Lily, can you navigate? I'm like, nope. I do not want to be on the other end of that.
The problem is we're both two very big control freaks
and Google Maps is horrible. The transportation has been not good, and so it's been a whole thing.
Well, the question is the public transport the issue or is Google Maps the issue? Because in Nice, again, Colette came in with the goods. She gave us her public transport routes to this Airbnb, right? And we had to catch this bus. And anyway, you go on Google Maps, the bus doesn't even come up when you... Yeah. This bus that took us right to the front door of our Airbnb from the city center of Nice does not show up when you're looking on Google Maps for quote-unquote the quickest route back to your house. Google Maps is saying quote-unquote here's the quickest route back to your place or this address, and it's not. So it's really rough because ever since that I've realized that Google Maps is a little bit unreliable, but mix that with public transport that can also be unreliable and you've got a mess. And so us navigating that, Venice actually had it had decent public transport. It's the first time I've ever been to a place that doesn't have roads.
Yes, so Venice, if you don't know, I feel like most people know that Venice is very water heavy, about the canals, the grand canals, the gondola rides, et cetera, et cetera. You know about all that stuff, most people do. But I wasn't quite aware of just how much water there was, I feel like. There's literally, you can't drive a car on the island of Venice. There's nowhere to do it. And so, the only way you can get around is you can walk or you can take the boat. And so...
The ferry.
Yeah. So our first night, because we had to get from the mainland to the island, we had to take the boat. So we're, on this boat at, 11:30 p.m.
Later than that.
Midnight on this boat. It was just absolutely ridiculous. But we made it. We made it to our Airbnb, which had some bugs in it, which was quite unfortunate.
Yeah, it was just so heartbreaking. If I'm, I'm not even kidding. I know heartbreaking sounds dramatic, but I was so tired by the time we got to our Venice Airbnb. All I wanted to do was flop down. And also, Lily and I have been sharing a bed in a lot of these places because we are two girls who read and we are two girls who are traveling on a budget.
Very poor.
Yeah, and so we have been booking a lot of places that are exponentially cheaper just because they have one bed. But then with Venice, we booked it May, and we were very excited because it had one bed and then one sofa bed.
So two beds.
So we didn't have to share a bed, especially after Nice. We had two separate rooms. Yeah, we were thriving in Nice. It was great. However, we get to Venice. We're so tired. Lily and I have kind of just been snapping at each other all night, being a little bit crabby because we're tired and we're navigating in a foreign country. It's scary. It's night. And we literally opened the sofa bed because I slept on the sofa bed in Nice. So Lily's like, I'll sleep on the sofa bed in Venice. And we open it up and there's all these little like bed bugs. Like, I don't even know what type of bugs they were. And I'm just like so tired. I see this. I'm like, I cannot deal with this right now. But anyway, Lily was like about to go in that bed. She was like, oh, I'm ready. Like, who cares if there's a bunch of like bed bugs in it? It's like infested. And so anyways, I'm like, you're going to have to sleep in it. We're gonna have to share a bed. And so anyway, eventually first night in Venice, we're sleeping in the other bed, which, listen, I don't know if that was also infested with bugs. The whole place was infested with bugs, but I considered taking off the bed sheets on that bed and seeing the truth underneath, seeing if we were sleeping on top of like a little hive mind of bed bugs. But I just decided I'm gonna live in blissful oblivion, or oblivious bliss, whatever the phrase is, and I'm just gonna go to sleep and live with this. And so yeah, but then we ended up finding the beauty of Venice. Like,
we did a street food tour, which was a really great time. We really enjoyed that.
It's hot as shit,
very hot, but we met a lot of nice people, and then we ate a lot of really good food,
a lot of young people,
a lot of really great food. So the street food tour was definitely, I think, worth our while. We had a really great time doing that. And then a lot of time in Venice, we kind of just, like, really just explored, like, walked around. There's so much history in Venice. If you don't know, apparently, like, a few days after we left, they celebrated their, like, 1,600-year anniversary of, like, Venice being, like, a city or whatever. Wow. Which is cool. I don't think they have 100 more of those.
Yeah, we also came to the conclusion that when sea levels officially rise or whatever, Venice is one of the first places to go, which was really just, it was weird being in a city where we're like, this is not going to be around for a lot longer. I really don't think
so. It was very neat. Like, I would say, like, it was,
I don't know if neat's the right word.
Not but like neat, but like almost kind of like this eerie sense that
it was
like
eerie,
weird. But it's neat that we got to see it, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
like, I think it's cool that we got to see it.
It was weird though, because it's such a beautiful city with so much culture and history, and to be in almost its like last years, it was like,
it was very weird.
It was weird, and especially walking around, like, Venice is such a beautiful city. You're walking around, and we did the street food tour, which weirdly I was expecting just to have lots of good food, but we learned like a lot of history on that tour as well, which was a nice surprise. Yeah. But we were like in this fish market, and then the tour guide, she goes, oh, look at that like stone sign in the wall over there. And she's like, oh, that's like in Venetian, and it's the rules for the fish market that were made like thousands of years ago in a language that is no longer a written language. I'm like, that is wild that is just sitting there. Like, I think the coolest thing that and the oldest thing you could find in Australia is like, oh my god, this $5 bill is from the 80s. It's like, because Australia, like, especially coming, I don't know about like Canada as much, but coming from Australia, like, we're such a young country. We've been I mean, obviously the indigenous people, they've been around, they're the oldest kind of civilization.
But it wasn't Australia then, like, but it wasn't called Australia.
Yeah, it wasn't like # colonized. Yeah, and so Australia, like, it's only been around for about 100-something years. It's not, and in the grand scheme of things, like, it's got nothing on 1600. I mean, that's wild.
So it was really great. There was lots of good food, lots of fun little restaurants and stuff I found.
Yep. We had lots of gelato. We were very stereotypical. Gelato, yeah.
Lots of pizza, lots of pasta. Not pizza.
We found out, another fun fact, that pizza is not actually
that good in
not that good in Venice. Like, a lot of people, tourists such as ourselves, go to Venice, and since it's in Italy, and Italy has a stereotype for being the place of, like, pasta, pizza, gelato, we found out on our first day that pizza's not really the thing in Venice, or Venice isn't really the place for pizza, because since it's such a small city and almost a fragile city, dare I say, wooden ovens are banned because they're doing just as much as they can to limit fire hazards. And so, when you have a pizza in Venice, it's actually not really the stereotypical Italian pizza that I think a lot of tourists think they're having. Which was kind of entertaining that we learned that on our first day, because I felt like we had this superiority complex over everyone else. A lot of
people were eating pizza.
Watching all these, like...
tourists.
Yeah, all these tourists being like, oh, this is authentic, just Rome pizza. Oh, not Rome, Italian pizza. And it was just... we're just there going, actually?
Actually, our street food tour guide told us that that is a lie.
Yeah, I think the food in Venice, it's seafood.
Food in Venice is seafood, which is a bit rough for me because I don't like seafood, but I still found lots to enjoy, I felt like.
I had lots of seafood pasta. I had a thriving time. I tried a limoncello, which I have to be real, I don't know if this is going to be like a controversial opinion, because limoncello, so the main beverages I kept seeing advertised everywhere we went were like spritzes, like Aperol spritz, Campari spritz, Americano was advertised a lot. Anyway, I've had a lot of Aperol spritzes just because that's like a stereotype. For those who don't know, Aperol spritz, it's basically a drink. It's like an alcoholic drink, and it kind of has a little bit of a wine taste to it a bit, but a little bit of like a soda taste, I guess, as well. I don't know. I'm not a professional. Legal drinking age in Australia is 18. I've not been drinking for that long. But then there was this other thing that I kept seeing on all the menus. It was like limoncello. And I was like, oh, well, this is getting as heavily advertised as Aperol Spritz. I should give it a go, because Aperol Spritz isn't like horrible. I'm not a big alcohol girl, but I don't mind an Aperol Spritz. And so I tried this limoncello, and it was like...
she found it horrific.
It was horrible. It took me the whole day to get that taste out of my mouth. It was disgusting. Yeah. I'm sorry. Maybe it was a bad limoncello. I don't know if it's supposed to be good. But my first reaction was when I had it, I was like, this is a prank that like Italians have made on the... so the idiot tourists like me, they drink this drink.
And it's horrible.
And it's horrible. It was the same energy that there were so many like top tourist destination restaurants in Venice that we would find on Google Maps that would have all these stunning reviews, and we'd follow the Google Maps to the address and it wouldn't be there. Yeah. I felt like Venetians were just trolling us, like trolling tourists. And honestly, I have to respect it if that is the case. You know, I highly doubt it is, but it'd be really cool if it was. I wouldn't be mad, but yeah, it was just not good. But I did have a lot of seafood pasta. Lily had... what did you have?
A lot of just other pasta.
Yeah, a lot of just other pasta.
There's some other things we did in Venice. Like, we did a gondola ride, of course. Like, everyone has asked me, did you do a gondola ride? Yes, we did a gondola ride.
It was so interesting because I didn't realize how popular these were. I didn't even know what a gondola ride was before until you mentioned it to me.
Oh, yeah. No, I've definitely heard a lot about it. But I definitely didn't know like how seriously the people of Venice take the gondola rides, because... mm-hmm. So we learned because we did a little tour or whatever, and they brought us to the gondolas, and they were kind of explaining a little bit about like what they were. And the gondolas are very, like, big in Venice, like, and it's really hard, because you've probably seen the gondola drivers, they stand there with, like, the sticks, the oars, and they're, you know, paddling them, and you're like, oh my, you see that, and you're like, oh my god, it's, like, such, like, looks like such a hard workout, it's so hot. But we also kind of learn about just, like, how hard it is to become, like, a gondola driver. It's like becoming a doctor. Like, the training is insane. You have to spend, like, $160,000 just to become a gondola driver, which is just insane. So these people are crazy.
And then the gondola themselves are 20,000.
Yeah. So these people are crazy good at what they do. I kept thinking we were gonna like, it looked like we were gonna like hit the wall or something sometimes, or like another gondola, but it was just perfect. I don't know how they were navigating these things. It was wild, but no, it was just I liked the gondola ride. Some people like, it's the overrated tourist experience. I'm like, I don't know, it was kind of fun.
I disagree, because Venice, like, it doesn't have roads, but it does have water. And so it's cool getting that different perspective of traveling through Venice. And there were just so many cool things. Like, the way that the buildings are designed as well, they just have so many almost, like, I don't know, docks, if that's a word for them. Like, there would just be these normal houses, and you'd be driving, or not driving, but, like, these people would be floating by, and you'd float by, and you could see into, like, a hotel lobby or something just randomly there, and I'm like...
Yeah, you take the freaking gondola to your hotel lobby. No, it was very cool. We really enjoyed the gondola ride, I think, and...
We saw Mozart.
We saw Mozart's house, where Mozart lived. I completely forgot about, because I was like, we did other things in Venice. What did we do in Venice? We went to St. Mark's Basilica.
Oh, yes.
Which, beautiful, stunning church from the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, stunning church from the outside. It's very, very famous. You can look it up. I mean, I've seen it before. Maybe that's just, like, my Catholic school education that I've seen that
before. I'd never seen it before.
But, I mean, I didn't know the name of it, but when you showed it to me, I recognized it.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so... We're going to go in there and check it out. If you listened to the last episode, we went to some, like, churches in, like, London and stuff that we really, really enjoyed. So we were like, why not?
They made us church snobbers.
Yeah, Italy. Snobs. We had heard, like, we're like, oh, if you like the churches in London, you're not ready for the churches in Italy. So we're excited because this place is freaking gorgeous from the outside. We, like, get up in the line. We get our tickets up. Their tickets are scanned. And then we get, because... It's like 35 degrees, 40 degrees in Italy right now. And so we're wearing, like, so I was wearing a skirt that went to, like, my knees. And so were you, basically, right? Like, yeah. The skirts went down to our knees. And we were wearing tank tops because it's so freaking hot. And we got in trouble because we were not allowed to enter the church with our shoulders showing. Which, not gonna lie, that kind of pissed me off.
We were whored out of the church.
We were whored out of the church. Not gonna lie, that really made my blood boil.
Here's why it made our blood boil, because we need to be clear. I will never sit here and disrespect a person's religion, or if a religious text says, oh, like, it's the respectful way to our religion or our culture or our beliefs is you need to dress like this. I'm never gonna sit here and deny you the right to dress like that. But, and especially, I'm never going to sit here as a, like, tourist who does not follow this religion and come in and be like, well, how dare you not let me come into this sacred space respecting your beliefs.
Exactly.
The issue that we had with this, though, was we went into this church eventually with ways that we will explain in a story after this. We went into the church and not a single part of the church was being used for religious acts. Not a single person was praying in this church.
It
was a tourist attraction. And even, the way they were treating this church was a tourist attraction. Even we went to other churches in London. We went to Westminster Abbey, went to St. Paul's.
And people were praying in both of them.
Yeah, people were praying in these churches. And they... Also, like, different events, like, services were happening in these churches as well. Yeah,
they weren't even really that strict on the dress. Like, we never got shamed out of any of
We never got denied entry because we were dressing appropriately for the weather. And so...
Yeah, so, but...
It really shocked us, if we're being honest.
It did shock us. And I feel like I also, like, same as Olivia, like, very completely respectful about these religions. But what makes me mad is when... They take these things and they make these rules or whatever, and these rules are not even written in the Bible. Because, like I just said, I went to Catholic school, I had to read the freaking Bible so many times, and literally it says in the Bible that women should be allowed to dress how they want. And Jesus said, men should pluck out their eyes, their own eyes, if they have an issue. It's not the woman's problem, it's their own problem.
Mm-mm.
So I was like, it's a church, it's a Catholic church, but you're not even following the Catholic religion, so I'm respecting your religion. But that's not a part of it. You made that up. That's not a part of
it. And it was very interesting because we had skipped the line tickets too. Like, there was a skip the line, and there was a normal line for people who didn't have tickets already or did have tickets, but they weren't skip the line tickets. And this line was long. I think these people were waiting in line to get into this church for about an hour. And women were getting to the front of this line and getting kicked out of the line. after waiting for an hour, and it was not advertised anywhere.
Yeah, that was another thing. If they had said, be like, this is, you're not allowed to wear things that expose your shoulders, I mean, it probably would have still been like, okay, that's a bit much, but I would have been like, okay, I would have planned for that then. Like, I would have been like,
okay, yeah, on the tickets when we're booking it, even like outside the front of the church, there was one sign that was
near the front. It
wasn't even near the front. It was when you got to the front of the line.
Yeah.
It was there, and it was kind of hidden away, and it was the size of an A4 piece of paper. So if you're at the back of a massive line that takes an hour to get through, you can imagine you're not going to see that sign until it's a little bit too late.
It's a very deceiving sign as well, because on the sign, it was like the woman, it was like what you can't wear. And the woman was wearing, like, a crop top with her whole stomach exposed or whatever.
Yeah.
So it looks like that's what it's saying you're not allowed to wear, which wasn't what we were wearing. Our stomachs were completely covered. It was just our shoulders. So it's like, even the sign is a bit deceiving in how it looks. But
anyway,
regardless, we went, and because capitalism, you know, the devil works hard, but capitalism works harder. There's a bunch of stands outside.
Conveniently there. When they're like, you can't come in because your shoulders aren't covered. Turn around. Oh my god, look at all these carts. Conveniently, there are people selling scarves that women can buy for overpriced prices that they can use to cover their shoulders and then go into the church. Yes. So
we had to buy some scarves
to cover our whorish shoulders.
Yes, that God made for us. But they're not appropriate. The shoulders, very sexual objects, you see.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we went to the church, quite underwhelming on the inside. It's definitely not as well.
I mean, it was impressive for the fact of how long it had been there, and there was a lot of history to it, clearly.
But I feel like we just had such a damper on the experience after having to go buy these scarves and stuff. And we weren't as excited about the church anymore. We were like, oh.
Yeah, this might be a different controversial opinion, but no amount of history is worth admiring if you have to face the consequences, the damaging and discriminatory consequences of that history in order to enter it or in order to witness it.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the church was, it was cool, but I feel like it wasn't as well maintained as some of the other ones we had went to. Like, it's not like it was poorly maintained, but it definitely didn't have as much, like, I don't know, it didn't look as nice.
Also, it took us literally like 2 minutes to get through it.
It was so small, so it made no sense. But anyway, so we did that, and then we went to the top of this really big tower in St. Mark's Square, which is right across from it. And because drones are illegal in
Venice. That's not like you said legal, they're illegal.
Illegal in Venice. This tower is the only way you can get an aerial view of the whole city of Venice, which we thought was quite cool. I mean, we got some really good photos up there, and that was really fun.
I mean, yeah, I didn't even really care about the photos. I was more just like, oh, wow. Like, I never even noticed that all the roofs in Venice are red. I was like, oh, interesting. And yeah, it was just beautiful. And then it also made me realize just how intimate the island is, because obviously we knew. Another thing about Venice, it's the first place that I've ever been where the walking distance is equal to the time it takes to walk to almost every place in Venice was identical to the amount of time it would have taken you to take public transport there, like the ferry there. And so it was, obviously I felt the effects of how intimate or how small the island of Venice was. But then to actually see that from like an aerial or bird's eye view was really cool, because I am very impressed with Venice. I mean, for a small geographical location, they've done a lot with it. And props to them, because Australia is like a million gazillion times bigger, but still, we're not nearly as like bussin' and boomin' as Venice was when we went. So
yeah. And I guess kind of the last thing that I feel like I can say about Venice was the last day when Olivia had a bit of an issue.
You don't get to say this story.
I'm not saying it. I'm just introducing it for you to tell it. Yeah. Olivia had a little bit of an issue, so take it away.
Okay, so we're in Venice, right? let me tell you a story. So basically on our last day in Venice, we caught a train from Venice to Rome, and as I was saying earlier about the issue that Colette kindly fixed for us in Nice, was she just let us stay in the Airbnb free of charge until like our plane was coming in a bit later. With our train, it was coming in at 4:30 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so checkout at our Airbnb was 10. And so we're like, look, that's not a lot of time. We don't want to be an inconvenience. Let's just drop off our bags at a hotel or something, and then we'll just walk around Venice. So we spent our last day in Venice, or our last afternoon in Venice, just having to kind of hop from place to place.
Yeah, we were bar hopping a little bit. Yeah.
And we weren't having any alcoholic drinks either. We were bar hopping and being like, wow, this Coca-Cola tastes exactly like the one we had at the place, like a 10-minute walk away.
Yes.
But we had to do it to kill time because it was so hot. And it was so we hot. Had to be inside, and we were just going in any place that had aircon, if we're being honest. Anyways, there's this bridge. Literally, I kid you not, this is the last restaurant that we are going to visit, because we're going to go to a restaurant now to eat dinner before we get on the train to come to Rome. And there was literally this bridge, and it was the final bridge I ever crossed in Venice. And there are like so many bridges in Venice too.
There's like over 400.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Okay, well, over 400 bridges in Venice. And of course, the last one I cross is the one that I have beef with, because we're going over this bridge. It's really hot. We're getting to the finish line of our time in Venice. I'm a little bit, you know, I'm ready to leave. Okay, there's nothing left for us to do. So I like am running down these stairs because I have a little bit of a spring in my step, if you will.
She's like hopping down.
I'm hopping down these stairs, connecting to my Australian roots, hopping down these stairs like a kangaroo. And these steps are made of marble, and it was completely on me. But literally, it was like the second last step. And I completely cartoon Looney Tunes style slip from under my feet, like they slip on bananas in cartoons, and absolutely eat shit on these marble steps. And it's one of the most like popular bridges and busy bridges I've seen in Venice. And everybody around just watches me eat shit. And can I just say, there were a minimum like 50 people on this bridge. Not a single one of them came to help me.
They probably saw how you fell and they were like, that bitch, why is she hopping like a kangaroo down the bridge?
Yeah, I became an example that day. I said, I bet so many parents looked to their kids after and said, see kids, that's why you don't run downstairs. That's why you don't do this. Because, yeah, it wasn't surprising it happened, but I was still disappointed that it did.
I mean, yeah.
Because it was a bad fall. I heard, like, everybody collectively gasp around me. And Lily comes up to me, and the first thing I say to her, I'm like, are you okay, Lily?
And I looked at her, and I was like, maybe her head injury is worse than that. Olivia, you are the one on the ground.
I know. Lily deadass thought that I, like, had banged my head on the marble step behind me, which this fall, everybody could have gone so much worse than it did, but still.
You thought she smacked her head, but she did not.
But I didn't. I actually fell probably as best as I could on this little marble step situation. However, I did leave with like a sprained ankle. I don't know if my ankle's sprained or if it's broken or chipped or what the dealio is with it. I'm waiting to get back to Australia before I go get it checked up on, because, you know, healthcare, Medicare, yeah. And so, but yeah, I was really worried. I was like, oh God, I'm not going to be able to walk. Like, and we have like however many days left in this trip. And then when we go back to Australia, honestly, I'm still a little bit scared because we're moving. Like, you've got to be healthy in that condition, whatever. And I just have this bad leg, this bad ankle thing going on. And so anyway, I've been limping, hobbling around Europe ever since then. But we had our last meal in Venice, and then we got on the train.
And then we got to Rome.
And then we got to Rome at around, like, I don't know, 8 or something.
Yeah, so we got to Rome, and we've been here for the last few days. We've done some pretty cool stuff. We haven't done much because we've been really tired, and it's been so hot in Rome. Like, huge heat wave in Europe right now. So it's really hard for us to go out because we're so hot. But we went and saw the Colosseum. We did a tour of the Colosseum, which we found quite cool. I feel like we learned a lot about...
We almost didn't make it to our tour in the Colosseum.
The public transport in Rome is horrible and completely unreliable. The buses just don't show up.
The metros are fine, but the buses, like, we were trying to make excuses for them the first few days. We're like, oh, maybe there's just a few minutes late.
The buses, they would come so early. Like, they'd come, like, we would see it later on Google Maps or whatever. It's like, bus came 30 minutes early. And I was like, how is that allowed? Like, I'm not at the bus stop yet 30 minutes early. Like, even like 5 minutes early, maybe 35 minutes early. That's ridiculous. So we have not enjoyed the public transport in Rome that much.
Considering that buses are like the main way to get back to our Airbnb, according to Google Maps, it's like, take a bus. And we're like, we don't want to take a bus.
We can't take the bus.
But we also don't want to walk because it's like 40 degrees.
Yeah, so it's not the best situation right now. But we did go to the Colosseum, almost missed it because of the whole situation. But we got there in time, saw the Colosseum, very cool, a lot of history there. Building that's literally been there for like 2,000 years, which is insane. I can't fathom that. And then we also went to the famous fountain,
from the Lizzie McGuire movie.
The Trevi Fountain, I think it was called. That was a really pretty fountain.
True. Hold this.
I think it's a Trevi Fountain.
Hold the mic, girl.
It's a really, really gorgeous fountain. We really enjoyed it.
Fontana di Trevi Roma.
Yeah, that's it in Italian.
Well, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Anyway, so
this is good. There we go.
Okay, we've got the mic back.
We have our mic. There you go. You hold it. The mic stand is a paper towel.
We'll have a more, we'll have a better setup in our apartment in Australia.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully something. But yes, so we saw that fountain. It was great. We got some really good pictures in front of it.
It was beautiful. And
it was gorgeous. Water was so cold. I wanted to swim in it because we were so hot. It was so hot.
Oh, can I say a story about the Colosseum?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Colosseum was really cool. We had a tour. We went from 5:30 to 6:30, though. And at the end of the tour, you get free time. However, I recommend if you're ever going to book a tour at the Colosseum, don't make sure it doesn't finish, like, at 6:30. Because the Colosseum, they start closing it at around 6:45. So when this tour finished and we'd learn all this incredible history about the Colosseum, yeah, basically we had about 10 minutes of free time in this massive, like, amazing building that I would have loved to spend more time in, and then they're closing it. So that was a little bit sad because I really just wanted to have a bit more of a look around. But anyways, since we walked all around the Colosseum because they're like, it's closing, everybody get out. And they pretty much had closed like the half of the Colosseum that you enter, and the only other half of the Colosseum that was still kind of open by like 6:45 was the half that the exit was on. So yeah, we'll say it's like the left side of the Colosseum. Anyway, we are like just at the exit, and the exit is like a flight of stairs or something to get to level one, and then you walk and you go to the exit, which is on the left side of the Colosseum. However, the lift, there's only one lift in the entire of the Colosseum, which something I've learned since having obtained this ankle injury, which has made it quite difficult to walk up and down stairs a lot. Like, I'm not very good at walking these days, which isn't great. Is Europe is not really made for the disabled. Like, I don't know how people with wheelchairs survive. Even when you do come across an elevator eventually, they're always incredibly thin. So it's like,
okay, you need a wheelchair, it's not gonna fit.
Yeah, it's like a wheelchair would not fit in half of the elevators we've used in Rome, and also in like other European countries too. Like in Nice, every elevator we use was super thin and super narrow. We barely fit in it. And yeah, anyways, it's like, if you're fat, take the stairs.
Yeah.
You need it. It's like so
we're
so
not
mean.
Saying that.
Europe no, is yeah, Europe that. Is saying that's the message we feel. It's like, oh my god, like
ridiculous.
Yeah. And anyways, but it was kind of cool because since I wanted to use like the lift because I couldn't go down the stairs and I'm like limping, I look like a puppy from the pound, I asked this like woman, I was like, can I use the lift to leave? And she was like, yeah, it's on the right side of the Colosseum. And anyway, I go through this right side of the Colosseum and it's completely closed. So there's just this empty Colosseum, empty side of the Colosseum, and this little girl hobbling down it. And I'm like, I feel like this is exactly what security doesn't want. Just like one person alone in the Colosseum. But obviously I wasn't doing anything bad, I was just trying to get to the elevator. But it was really cool because I have all these photos and all these videos on my camera of just me on this empty Colosseum. And eventually, like every kind of few meters, I would come across a security guard and they kind of get like this ready to fight stance with me, thinking I'm like some, because I had my camera too, they're like, fucking YouTuber, like, and then they'd see me hobbling and they'd be like, oh, the elevator's this way. Like, they get the pity voice on, and I'd be like, thank you, just shuffling along. And yeah, but that was like a really cool memory that I think I'll remember for a long time, just like being in the Colosseum kind of by myself.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
I was going down the stairs like a...
Lily was going down the stairs like a peasant.
Like a peasant.
Yeah. And freaking out because she couldn't find me.
Yeah, anyway, whatever. But yeah, so then our next day in Rome, we did this really cool thing. It was an Airbnb experience we booked a while ago, and it was called Making Pasta with Grandma.
One of the first things we booked.
It was the very first thing we booked. We booked like 4 months ago or something. And it was an incredible experience. Basically, you take a train to this little village in Italy, and so you take this train, and...
I'm getting the name of the village.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, and they kind of give you a little tour on the village, and you basically go make pasta, like handmade pasta by hand, with this old Italian grandmother who teaches you like the authentic way to make pasta by hand, all the techniques, Nonna. And it was just a fantastic experience. There was 3 different kinds of pasta that we made, and like I feel like I could recreate that. I feel like that wasn't too hard. I feel like
But it wasn't made with the same love, Lily.
It wasn't made with the same love. I couldn't quite
recreate Nonna wasn't there, you know? It's not the same.
Yeah, it's so true.
But the village was called Palombara Sabina, which was very rural. It felt like we were in the middle of nowhere, but I kind of loved it.
It was great.
I said to Lily, I was like, I feel like we're in this under the Tuscan sun situation where we're just like in this countryside of Italy. And, you know, just being like, oh my God. So beautiful, getting away from the city to cook pasta with Nonna, and it was really cool as well, because we got to see, they cannot hear us if over there. But it was really cool, sorry, we were adjusting the microphone for those who were confused. It was really cool too though, because we got to like get this private sort of tour, or like private sort of like viewing of an old castle that the Pope from like, what century was this castle from? It was old.
Many years ago.
It was either like 18th or 16th century. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But like apparently the Pope at the time used to come visit this castle. And yeah, like a part of the village was like preserved from when it was first built in like the 16th, 18th century. And it was really cool because one of the co-hosts was like explaining as she's walking us through this village that it's in a swirl because they designed it that way. So if there were enemies, it would take longer for them to get to the center of the village, aka the castle. And then also, like, there was this archway. And it was, like, technically back in the day, you would just be entering the village now. And there was, like, a hole in the middle of the archway, this stone archway, in the top of it. And they were, like, look up. And then it was, like, back in the day, if you were an intruder in the village, olive oil and fire would spill on top of you and you die. But luckily we're not that unfriendly anymore. It's just really cool little things like that. We had the prosecco. very good prosecco.
It was amazing, and just the whole experience was great. The pasta was so freaking good that they served
it
us.
it was amazing
pasta. Oh my God. And we just had such a great time, like getting to know all these people, and you know.
Always meet like such a, it's Airbnb experiences are easily like the best people, or like the most intimate people I've socialized
with. Like really cool people to meet when you're traveling.
Yeah, because, and it's strange to say that because everyone who we've met on Airbnb experiences, like, they're not locals unless they're the host, obviously, because they're tourists, like, booking these experiences. But still, it's always so interesting just to hear about different people's travels and where they're from and whatever. Like, we've run into, even for me, like, we've run into Australians on almost every experience we've done, which has been really weird.
I've never run into any Canadians.
I know, no Canadians, but
only
there's
Only Americans.
But there's been like a duo or one or two Australians on every Airbnb experience we've done, which is just always weird, because even though it's like, look, we're from the same country, but I probably would never have met you unless we were like
in Europe
right now on this experience together cooking pasta with Nonna. Like, it was so random. And then also just other people from other countries. Like, I've never been to the USA, but I've met so many Americans. And I've been thinking, I'm like, look, even though I feel like I've been to the USA, or like I've met Americans just vicariously because of the media or whatever, like my whole life I've been watching Americans and hearing American news, it's still weird because I'm realizing I think these are like some of the first Americans I've actually met in person. And yeah, it's just everybody has like their own story. It's really cool.
Yeah, so today we've kind of just been preparing to leave. There's been a lot to do and it's too hot. And yeah. Olivia's injured. And so we've kind of just been packing.
We didn't say our Divergent. We had our YA dystopian book moment to get to pasta with Nana.
That's right. Our Divergent moment. Our Hunger Games moment.
Yes.
We already explained the public transport in Rome.
We navigating our friendship gets thrown out the window.
Yes, yeah, we all know already.
But yeah,
but we almost missed the train, and this is so like this kind of village. It's a little bit out there, so this train doesn't come that often. And they booked the train ticket for us. We don't know how to get on another one, so like we have to make this train. Yeah, and we see the train, and the doors are closing because we've just made it at the last minute. And we're sprinting. Olivia on her terrible ankle. We are sprinting.
Also, before this, we've been... So we got up like an hour...
We left like an hour before the train.
Before the train was due to come. And it was meant to take us like 20 minutes to get to this train station via other trains and... like via the metro, but this metro went like
metro's not reliable.
Sorry, I take back my previous statement. This metro, it was the exact metro that Google Maps said we had to get on. We looked at like the stops that this metro was going to do, of the, and it was like, yes, our stop was on there, it was there, and we're going to be there like 20 minutes early. We get on this metro and it just goes the opposite direction all of a sudden. We have no explanation for why.
It doesn't go the opposite direction. It starts to split off because this metro had two different trains. And one of them splits off, like, a stop before we need to get off. And we make sure we're on the right line. We're like, okay, we're not on the line that splits. We're on the right line that Google Maps says. And the other train that splits isn't even coming to the station for the next, like, while. Because at a certain time of day it was. Only the one that we needed was coming, if you checked Google Maps. But even still, we found out Google Maps is not reliable. So when we get on the train, I check the little thing at the front of the train that's, like... that tells you what the name of the train is, and that's the one we needed, and it still split off for some reason.
I feel like people are going to be confused by how you're explaining this, because I'm confused with how you're explaining this. So, yeah, basically, the train we needed, it was called Rebecca. It wasn't called Rebecca, but we'll say it was called Rebecca. And there were two different metros that came on this one track, and they all had... there was like Rebecca and Julio, and they both went the exact same way for about 10 stops. But then at stop number 11, they had two completely different stops, and then they kept getting further and further apart. Anyway, we were sure we were on Rebecca. Like, Lily was like, I saw the front of the train. It said we're on Rebecca. Anyway, it stopped going the same direction that fucking Julio is meant to be going. And so then we had to get off of Rebecca, and we had to go back on Rebecca, but going the other way, different Rebecca number two.
Sprint 10 minutes from the
one. It was like 2 kilometers.
We were sprinting through, and then we see the train. We get to the station. We're like, oh my god, we're like just barely on time. The door starts closing. We're like sprinting, and Olivia does her Divergent moment where she wedges herself between the doors.
Even better, it was my Dylan O'Brien Maze Runner moment. Scorch Trials moment. Like, that door is closing. I tell you what, that door is closing. And it was the last time that door was closing too, as well. Like, it was like final call for this train.
She throws herself in that door. We end up getting on the train just barely.
Yeah.
But it was a bit much. A bit much for us.
Oh, I have not sweated that much since I was, like, a kid seeking academic validation in the cross country. Like, it was too much. Too much sweat.
Horrible.
I felt like I was going to pass out. I went to the bathroom, like, to wash off my sweat. I was like, there's got to be a bathroom on this train. If there isn't, I'm chucking myself out the window. And I found a bathroom, and I just, like, I'm not a messy person, I'm not disreputable, but, like, I was so hot, I couldn't breathe, I felt like I was gonna pass out. I just took some of that cold water in that, like, public transportation sink, I just splashed it all over me, went all over the floor. I felt so bad, but I was like, I can't even be bothered to care right now about how someone's gonna have to clean this up. Like, I just put that water all over me. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, so... basically.
But I have no regrets. We made it on the train on time.
It was great. So today we've just kind of been packing. Tomorrow we have to check out of our Airbnb again and spend a whole day in Rome because our flight doesn't leave till 10 p.m. So we booked 2-hour massages, which we're really excited for before getting on our 26-hour long flight. And then other than that, yeah, we're flying. Like, yeah, it's like a 26 hours long flight, which is going to be so fantastic.
We're meant to do like a night tour tonight, but you can still go to that if you want.
I already canceled it.
Oh, did he let you cancel it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. That's nice. Yeah, but I was just like, we're meant to have a night tour that went from like 9 to 11, but last night we got home at like 10.
And we were so tired.
We were so tired. Like, Lily, I'm looking at Lily, her eyes are like closing. She's barely keeping her eyes open. And I'm like, there's no way we are lasting on a night tour. Like, and especially when we have to get up early to like make sure that the Airbnb is all packed up and like getting ready to leave because just like we're having a little bit of a niece situation minus the Queen Colette, we have to try and make ourselves busy with nowhere to stay in Rome for 12 hours or something like that because yeah, so checkout is at 10
and
the flight leaves at 10 p.m. and it was like the cheapest flight we could find from Rome to Sydney, so we're stuck having to like waste 12 hours in Rome. But we have managed to book, 2-hour massages, hoping that fills up some time. We're hoping by the time we put our bags, because we found a place to leave our bags for the 12 hours. By the time we have eat breakfast, then we do our 2-hour massages, it'll be 4 o'clock. And we're planning on just like making camp at a library.
Yeah, exploring some of the beautiful European libraries a little bit, like gonna make some camp there and
Italian, Rome libraries.
And air conditioning.
Yeah, just basically we're going to go anywhere air conditioning lets us. And yeah, just kind of try and enjoy our last day in Europe before we inevitably get on a ridiculously long flight back to, well, for me, back to Australia, Lily's first time in Australia.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to spend about 4 days absolutely screaming and hating each other because we're going to be trying to move in together. So
what a great start to us.
What a
together.
Great start.
And you're going to be like, it's just going to be a lot of screaming.
I think the devil, I think Satan just like guest starred on this podcast. I think we need to give him a feature. Like, Jesus, that was terrifying.
That's how we're going to scream at each other.
Well, yeah, I'm not even kidding. I wish they could see us navigating because it's just all friendship gets thrown out the window. It's like yelling.
I'm always just questioning so many things. And then the second we like stop navigating and get where we're going, we're like, so what's up, how's it going? Like,
yeah.
Completely. Like, it's like when you fight with your siblings and you just absolutely want to like stab them. And then they're like, do you want to go to the movies? And you're like, sure.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
They've still got fucking scratch marks from where you like, or like bite marks from where you just bitty or scratched each other for the TV remote. And then they're just like, you want to go get like McDonald's? Oh my God. I'm so glad you asked. Of course.
That's the physical violence.
Yeah. But yeah, us navigating, it's just like, what the heck? And then literally we got on this train and I literally was like, high five! We did it! So us moving is, I feel like it's going to carry that same energy where it's just like, why did you move that there? Obviously I want the Heartstopper poster over there. Like, how could you do that?
I'm hoping it's a little bit more chill because like, whenever we've been navigating aggressively, it's because we've had somewhere we needed to be, like our freaking cooking with grammar or whatever, like things like that. Like,
it's been because we've had a time limit.
Whereas I feel like with the moving, it's like obviously like ideally we want to get as much done as possible, but it's not like we have this at 2 p.m. so we need to be there, you know? It's
we
like,
do have time limits though.
A little bit.
No, yeah. They're big time limits, Lily. We need to get, it's already starting. Wait, we have big time limits. Like, literally, we're getting to Australia on the 22nd of July. Our school starts on the 25th of July. Yes. Like, we start university on the 25th of July. I have to move all my stuff out of a storage compartment by the 23rd. And then also on top of that, we need to like start paying rent. We need to get our keys. It's so stressful. I have to do tax.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. What was that? Yeah.
Anyway, but I guess maybe we'll add one element into Two Girls Who Read that's about reading. But I've downloaded some books for a long play, you see.
Yes.
I've downloaded The Night Circus. It's like a physical book, like an ebook. And then for audiobooks, I downloaded The Loveless audiobook by Alice Oseman and The Book Lovers book by Emily Henry. So hopefully that'll keep me.
And watch her not read a single one of them. I won't read a
single page.
Yeah, we'll get to the end of our 26 out of 5, but like, what books did you read? None.
Not actually.
But I listened to Sabrina Carpenter's new album and it slapped. And I'll be like, you know what?
Fair
it's
enough.
Fair. You know, mission failed successfully. I have downloaded, because we all know if Lily's not going to read, I'm probably going to somehow forget books that I have read. Like, it's just, yeah. I have downloaded the Iron Widow audiobook, the We Hunt the Flame audiobook, and I also already have the In Ember in the Ashes audiobook downloaded. And then I downloaded another audiobook from Audible today. Oh, I also have The Wrath and the Dawn, which could be fun. Excuse you, Audible. I am trying to have a look. Oh, Incendiary, which is a book that I have been hearing good things about for a hot minute. Oh no, my phone's low on storage. Never mind. I have not downloaded We Hunt the Flame. It's just there. So, yeah, hopefully I have options.
We have options.
We have no excuses.
We don't.
But watch us still not read anything.
But yeah, I guess we're gonna be getting back to like the Wednesday uploads or whatever. I'll edit a Shatter Me episode, but it's actually quite an entertaining episode. I'm not gonna lie, you guys are gonna like it. You're gonna like it.
Yeah, it's just you have to listen to it all the way through because there are mistakes in it, so we have to edit it.
Yeah, I know. I'll edit it. Anyway, so that'll go up, I guess. Like today is Tuesday, and this will probably go up on Tuesday because I can't be bothered to like, put it up tomorrow. So this will go up on like a Tuesday, but then we'll get back to the Wednesday episode. So next week you guys will get Shatter Me. That is a promise this time, even though you're supposed to get it in May. And then, yeah, I'm guessing Daisy Jones on the 6th. And then maybe something we've read on the plane. I don't know. We'll see.
Probably not.
Actually, no, because none of our books overlap.
Yeah, none of them are the same. So
probably not.
Yeah. Nevertheless, but yeah, this has been our Europe trip, so yeah. Thank you all so much for tuning in on it. This has been a big deal for us.
For a long time.
And we're glad that we have a place that we can, like, document these stories, because we're inevitably going to forget them. There is so much stuff that, like, we haven't even had the time to talk about, like, the fact that our crappy B&B host from London is, like, angry texts at us. Yeah. Just, like, so many different sort of things.
So much stuff.
Yeah, that, like, I don't know, yeah. But I feel like these have been the stories that we can just come up off the top of our head, and it's just a cool thing to document, I guess. Like, yeah, obviously this is a very glamorized version of it. I mean, we've talked about a bit of the bad, a bit of the good. We've tried to keep it kind of even, but yeah, obviously it's not as, I don't know where I'm going with this. It's been hard. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready. I'm tired.
It's been hard, but it's been fun.
It's been fulfilling and rewarding, and I don't regret it. But it's definitely been tiring. And I'm just ready to go back to living my life, where my biggest stress is, like, schoolwork, money. Money's always a stress, though. And also, like, what book we're going to film a podcast episode about.
Yeah, I'm excited to be able to binge listen to TikTok and not feel guilty about it because I'm in Europe.
You'll still feel guilty about it. Because you're like, I should have been doing schoolwork.
Yes.
But yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you guys next week with a...
We'll talk to you next week. They never see us once.
They'll never see us once.
No.
But we'll talk to you guys next week from a really old episode that hasn't gone up yet, and then we'll
you'll talk to past us next
You'll talk to us from May, when this was still us being separated.
So if you're hearing references of us being like, a Europe trip in a few months, we've already gone on that. So,
yeah, we've already gone on that.
Yeah, anyways, but yeah, talk to past us next week. Okay, goodbye.
Bye.